Let's bring in our next guest, former Vancouver Canuck. His cardboard cutout will be in the stands tonight. It is Ryan Kesler. What's going on, Kes?
How's it going, guys?
Pretty good. Did you know your cardboard cutout's going to be watching the game in the stands tonight at Rogers Arena?
I did not. That's pretty cool.
Yeah,
you're going to send me a picture.
You're going to have a good view of Connor McDavid lighting up the Canucks tonight, I think.
He's probably going to see me and go into a shell.
No, are you going to be as excited about your cardboard cutout when I tell you that it's right next to Kevin Bieksa?
Of course it is.
They had to go and ruin it, right?
Yeah, exactly.
All right, we're talking about, we were just right before we got to you, Ryan, we were talking about Connor McDavid and hitting 100 points. He's got basically seven games to get 13 points. You think he's going to do it?
You know, I think it's going to motivate him. You know, I think he obviously has the skill to put up that kind of numbers, do I think he's going to do it? Yeah, I do think he's going to do it.
Ryan Kesler, our guest here on the Land Rover pregame show, Canucks and Oilers coming up. You know, we did talk a lot last week about, you know, stopping McDavid and just how good he has been. You know, we look at him as this like unicorn of offense. If you were to compare him to Sidney Crosby, how, like the differences of defending McDavid versus defending against Sidney Crosby, how do you see it?
Well, you know, I think there's a lot of similarities between the two. Both great vision, both Crosby's, obviously McDavid's faster, but Crosby has that sneaky explosiveness to him where it doesn't look like he's going and then he's gone. It's that power behind his stride. You know, both really good shots. Yeah, they're just very similar. They both think the game the same way. Both really, like when I used to get in both their kitchens, they wouldn't show me if I did bother them. So mentally strong, mentally their competes the same. They both want to, so they're basically the same player, just in different bodies.
Which player that did you have the hardest time going up against in a shutdown role that maybe we wouldn't expect? Because we always expect the Connor McDavids, and you know, I know you talk about Taves too and Sidney Crosby being really difficult to play against and shutting down, but was there somebody that you went up against that maybe doesn't get the notoriety but was always a tough challenge?
Well, you know, I think there's a couple guys. You know, face-off-wise, someone that you wouldn't, like, probably think of would be like a Mikko Koivu. He was super strong in the draws, but someone to defend, whew, that's a tough one. You know, like a Datsyuk or I can't even think right now. Datsyuk would come to mind. Joe Thornton's really hard. You know, the guys that can make you look stupid, right? Other than that, nothing really comes to mind. Thornton's just so dangerous, or used to be. I mean, I think he still is, that big body. And when he was in his prime, he really had – I had a tough time defending him, because you need to look sorry, my son's trying to get in the car right now. Really a tough time, because you got to worry about everybody else on the ice. And – If you don't, he's going to make you pay. He's going to dish it to someone for a backdoor tapping.
You're listening to The People Show. We're joined by Ryan Kesler. Kes, you mentioned, you know, getting in battles with McDavid and, you know, Crosby, but they wouldn't necessarily waver maybe. Were there certain matchups where you're like, I know this guy, I can shake him, I can kind of get in his grill, I know he doesn't like playing against me? Were there specific players that you knew whenever you went into that game that you were living rent-free in their mind before the puck was even dropped?
Yeah, I think, you know, Ryan Johansson comes to mind.
David Backes?
Case comes to mind. Yeah, maybe that one too. Yeah, there's just guys in the league that you know you have a you know you have something on them, and it's going to rattle them.
Ryan Kessler.
Pascal Dupuis comes to mind, too. Yeah, there's a couple guys that I had some fun with.
Ryan Kessler, our guest. You know, Anaheim-LA battles were always good. Canucks fans are still kind of lamenting the loss of Tyler Toffoli from last offseason. He just scored again. He's got 28 goals on the season. Now, Toffoli's an interesting player because nothing really stands out about his game necessarily in the way that it would for other strong goal scorers around the league, but he's just really smart. He's got a way of finding soft areas against the defense.
Yeah, that's the thing is you said Toffoli has 28 goals now. That's just, you know, it's tough to lose that from your lineup. And you know, when he did get traded to Van last year, he fit in well, and when you fit in that good that quickly, you know, they lost a big piece of their offense there.
Ryan Kessler is our guest here on the People Show on Sportsnet 650. And now we mentioned Kevin Bieksa, we're joking about him, but he was on with our morning show, Halford and Brough, today. And he was kind of asked about the Canucks right now and what they're going through and, you know, what it's like when you see a team that you were part of that had a lot of success in the past. I mean, you were here, like Kevin mentioned, during the glory years of this team. What is it like when you view this organization now from the outside, knowing what it was like during the glory years and then kind of seeing what they're going through now? Like, what's your takeaway seeing the change too and the ups and downs organizations can go through?
Yeah, it's tough. Obviously, it's kind of a roller coaster from year to year. You don't know what you're going to get. And they got some young talent that, you know, either they're going to figure it out and become corner pieces of this franchise, or they're going to be, you know, the bottom half of the league for a long time, because, you know, I think a couple of them are in for a big payday here pretty soon. So they got to make some decisions. I just know when it was the Gillis era and, you know, our era where we had that team. I don't know the way they are now, but we were given anything we wanted, and they would do anything. Recovery, sleep, all that stuff. I don't know if they're continuing to do that, but that's was the 2% that I believe pushed us, right? And yeah, we had a really good team, and I think we had like over 50 wins one year. But the way I view this team now is they have a few tweeners, and they have some really good players, some really good role players, but their young talent needs to step up. Obviously, losing Pettersson for as long as you lost him, that's going to hurt, right? And, you know, they got to figure it out. With the way Demko and Holtby played early on the year, it hurt bad, and then they picked it up of late or, you know, maybe a few weeks ago. But, you know, it's tough to see. It's comparing apples to oranges, to be honest, because the way the game was played back then was different. We had some pretty good sandpaper in our lineup as well as skill and a good power play and you just like a good PK. And they seem to have the talent. They just can't put it together. And I don't know what happened this year. Maybe it was injuries, but injuries happen to everyone throughout the year, and you got to learn how to battle through that.
Organizationally, the team and the organization has had a reputation hit basically in the last year. You know, ever since the Jacob Markstrom, Chris Tanev, Tyler Toffoli free agency, you know, there was talks about, hey, communication maybe wasn't the greatest. There's noise out there. Long story short, when, you know, you're a player in your free agency or you're looking at another team, how much of that noise kind of discourages you? Or does that make a difference, or is that us media guys just making a mountain out of a molehill?
You know, it's tough. For us as players, you know, we want to be respected by our organization. We want to feel wanted. And when you don't get that love after, you know, everything, you look at Chris Tanev, everything he's done for the organization, I mean, the guy might have over 1,000 block shots in his career for Vancouver, and the injuries he's played through, and you know, even a guy like Toffoli that comes over and you know, puts up the numbers he did, and helps that playoff run, and then I don't know what happened there. I can't really comment, but it might be a situation where he's not shown his love and he goes somewhere else. So really, for me, if I was a GM, it's all about player relationship and being able to, you know, sign the guys you want because you have a good relationship with them and there's good communication. So if that's a communication breakdown, then that's obviously something that needs to change if you want to continue or start to have a competitive team and have players want to stay in that organization.
We know, you know, traditionally it has been hard to, and this goes for all Canadian markets, to attract free agents. But, you know, when it's good, things are good. Everybody loves you in town. And when it's bad, you're really under the microscope. I mean, does that matter as a free agent when you're kind of looking at those types of situations and just, you know, wondering, you know, how it could get difficult if things don't go the right way?
Yeah, you look at free agency. One's location where guys want to play. Two is the way veteran players or star players are treated in the market and organizationally, because we all know guys talk to each other. The NHL, as players, are a lot closer to each other and know each other a lot better than what I think when I played. And the third thing is if they have a chance to win, if you got a winning team, and that's the trend of NHL free agency. You're either going to get overpaid, or you're going to overpay for someone, or they're from there, or they live there, or they have relatives that live there, or they just want to live in that city. And I think the biggest thing is if you got a winning franchise, because at the end of the day, it's not fun playing for a losing team. And you know, I've luckily only did that a couple times in my career, and it becomes a long season. And guys want to win, and guys want to be competitive. And if they can't get on a winning team, then you know they're going to choose B or C as an option. And you know, the way Vancouver's trending, they might be a B and C option, so they might miss out on those big guns.
Now, Ryan, one of the interesting things about this season, one of the things it reminds me of a little bit is back in 07, 08, you guys were coming off making the playoffs the year before. A bit of a surprise season to some degree, right? And I know you had the finger injury that year, but you guys beat the Dallas Stars in the first round. You go and play Anaheim in the second round. You guys had over 100 points, played well in the division, and kind of exceeded expectations, kind of like the Canucks did this past year. Then the following season, now unlike this year, this season's been a complete disaster for the Canucks in so many different ways, too, and unforeseen things like the COVID outbreak and all that sort of stuff. But that 07, 08 year, you guys were a playoff team essentially, then lost 7 out of 8 late in the season. Guys were injured. A lot of things happened. You guys couldn't find a way to win. And then a bunch of changes happened with the team. A new GM came in, a new vision came in, and a few tweaks were made, and then the team took off again. Do you see some similarities in terms of where this team is at now with the core group that just needs a few things to be made really right over the next couple of years to take that next step? Like, do you see some similarities here?
I do. I think, like I said before, they have the pieces, and you're not going to pick up a Bo Horvat or you know, a JT Miller or a Pettersson in free agency. That's very unlikely. Or a Quinn Hughes. You just need those guys to continue to kind of ramp up their production and just take more of a leadership role and understand it's their team and they're going to go as far as they want to. And it's all about the culture that they bring into that team. And saying that, if they do make a couple changes where they do bring in a you know, second line help or you know, sign a top four D-man, then it's all about how the group mixes together and all about the coaching and the systems. And then really it's culturally how the GM has communication with the team and the relationships. And then it's just, to be honest, it's getting together soon in training camp and being able to mesh well. And once that starts happening, then you need some wins. Because if you start off and you don't get the wins right away, then everybody's questioning again, right? So, and you just said it. I went through it as a player where we lost 7 of 8. And once you start losing, especially in a Canadian city, it snowballs. And you start squeezing your stick, and I know it's cliche, but it's true. you start saying, oh, here we go again. And, you know, it takes a big culture in the room and some big character to pull a team out of that. And hopefully, you know, they'll have a good off season and come back and make some moves and come back and be a playoff contender again.
You're listening to Sportsnet 650. We're joined by Ryan Kesler. Ryan, before we let you go, we're starting to see in the last week or so, especially load management, rest days have become a thing in the NHL. Obviously, a condensed schedule. So some teams like Toronto last week decided to give a few of their guys a rest. What do you think of the load management coming to the NHL? And would Ryan Kesler take a rest day back in the day to kind of rest here if you were still in the league?
You know, I think there's only one time where I was offered a rest day and I actually took it. And I think it was the day before. It was a makeup day. We were in Colorado and we had to fly to Washington for a makeup day because they had a huge snowstorm and they canceled the game. And they gave a couple of us, they just flew a couple of us home. I think it was me, John Gibson, and maybe Getzloff, and they gave us a day off and we took it because that's obviously a long flight and that was the last game of the season. So I can't say I wouldn't take it. Would I fight it a bit? Yeah. especially if I'm healthy and I don't have anything going on, which probably was very rare in my career, but I would, it's tough to say. It really is. Obviously it's nice to rest, but you hate not being out there for your team and it would be a tough pill to swallow for me, but I think that's the way the league has to go now, especially this year. The guys are playing, you know, four and five and 5 and 7, and it's tough sledding right now, and I can't imagine what the guys are going through to be able to play that amount of games and that, especially like this late in the season where, you know, every point matters and they got to do this and that. And, you know, that's tough sledding for some guys, especially the older guys. It gets hard after you're 30. Trevor Linden once told me that, you know, you're really not sore until you hit 30 and then you realize what sore is. And he wasn't lying. You definitely get more sore after you're 30.
Kes, we appreciate the time, man. As always, we'll talk next week.
Yeah, thanks, guys. Appreciate it.